You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title, There is a Real Sign of Hope for You. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
On June 10, 1991, the editors of Time magazine, in order to grab the attention of their readers, used on the front cover of their magazine a sobering word displayed in bold, stark black lettering on a somber gray background. The word was E-V-I-L, evil. And in small white letters across the bottom of the page, the question was then asked, evil, does it exist, or do bad things just happen? This cover story tried to expose the question of whether there actually exists a sinister power in our world causing the bad things to happen in life, or whether the unpleasant and the painful and even death-dealing events of everyday life simply occur willy-nilly and without explanation. This intriguing magazine cover, probing the deep and sobering question about the existence of evil, struck a tender nerve in society. The response was swift and immediate. In only a few weeks, in their July 15, 1991 issue, the editors of Time magazine announced that this cover and the subject of evil solicited more responses than any previous issue this year. And so the question is, does evil exist? This would be a good question for radio and television talk shows. Everybody seems to have an opinion on this subject. But in His Word, God does not merely express opinions. In His Holy Word, God is very clear regarding the presence of evil and the power behind these sinister forces. In the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, we read, "For our struggle in life is not against flesh and blood." That is, our struggles in life are not really against other people. But the Bible says our struggle is against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This uncompromising statement of God establishes not only the existence of evil, but also its incredible, frightening force for destruction and death, both temporal and eternal. And knowing these warning words of God, one might be tempted to live in daily fear and constant trepidation. And so then, we thank God today for the Apostle John, who, when he considered the evil powers and the ominous threats that these sinister forces pose to believers each day, he wrote, "Greater is he, yes, greater is Jesus Christ, who lives within Christians by faith, than the devil who lives in the world." This is one of the greatest promises of God, that Jesus is stronger than the devil. And therefore, with Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we need never fear the powers of evil. In our modern age, however, believing in the protecting power of Jesus as the ultimate power against all evil is frequently considered foolish and even laughable. All of our solutions, even our spiritual answers, we frequently believe, must come from secular sources. Modern medicine, for example, modern science and modern technology. And there are even those in the Christian community who, instead of simply trusting in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, they prefer signs and wonders and all types of sensational spiritual experiences. Several years ago, one man claimed that he saw a 900-foot-tall Jesus. And regularly on talk shows, one hears people claim that God spoke to them. And some even say that they saw God. Others constantly seek visions of Jesus and other biblical personalities. And they try to see these visions in tree bark, or on plaster on buildings, or in mud puddles, or in rust patterns on water towers, and almost anywhere one could conceive of where a little spiritual imagination is almost guaranteed to draw crowds by the thousands. Oh yes, today our society is filled with people seeking signs and proofs and evidence. Consequently, it is good for us to reflect today for just a moment on a similar event recorded in the Bible. This event is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. The scribes and the Pharisees had confronted Jesus. They were, the Bible says, testing him. "Show us a sign from heaven," they said. Jesus was supposed to prove in some sensational way that he was the Son of God. But Jesus was not impressed by this nonsense. In fact, Jesus was highly offended and incensed. Instead of falling for this bait, the Savior said, "An evil and an adulterous generation seek sign after sign, but a sign will not be given," Jesus said. "A sign will not be given except the sign of Jonah." Jesus, the Bible explains, then left these detractors and he went away. The message was clear. Those seeking spiritual sensationalism will never be satisfied. The sign of Jonah had to be sufficient. The sign of Jonah, of course, was a sign of the Savior's coming resurrection. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, we hear Jesus saying, "Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." Oh yes, my friend, even today the devil constantly tempts us to seek signs and wonders in order to try to authenticate our faith. But we must always remember that the true faith of the Savior's followers was not founded, no, this holy faith was not established upon dreams or visions or apparitions or whatever. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ was established firmly, solidly, and forever upon the historical resurrection of Jesus. 15 years ago, a medical doctor who also holds a Ph.D. in philosophy wrote a book called Life After Life. This book chronicled the confessions of people who claimed to have died and then returned to life. So great was the interest in this subject that this book almost immediately sold several million copies. In a newspaper interview, this author said, "I don't think that there will ever be definitive proof of life after death, in the strict sense. I believe," he said, "this is more a matter of faith." Oh, what a foolish, what a misleading and unhistorical statement to make. To pit faith, yes, to pit faith against the facts of history, is fundamentally dishonest. The resurrection faith, the saving resurrection faith of Christianity, is firmly established upon the solid resurrection fact. Jesus always commended those who believed without seeing evidence, but Jesus also said when he appeared in the upper room to the discouraged disciples, he said, "Look at my hands and look at my side. It is I myself." The Savior was stressing one fundamental point. He was crucified. The evidence of his scars established this beyond all doubt. Then the Savior said, "Look, I am now standing before you, alive." He had been raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact. It is not fantasy. This resurrection provides an eternal hope, and this resurrection also guarantees all believers a supernatural power to deal with the evil forces of this world. When believers, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come to faith in Jesus Christ, then the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 3, Christ lives in their hearts. And when Jesus Christ dwells in the heart of the believer, the evil defeating power of the Easter resurrection is available to strengthen and to defend these same believers from Satan. For this reason, then, the Apostle John wrote, "Greater is he, greater is Jesus who is in you, than he who is in the world." This apostle reminds all of us that the supreme contest of good versus evil took place when Jesus trod voluntarily and joyfully to the crucifixion cross. The hammers of crucifixion rang out. The nails pierced this innocent man's flesh. The Son of Man suffered the sin of all humanity. And then finally, Jesus announced the victory over sin and the devil and all evil forces. "It is finished," Jesus cried, and then he hung his head and gave up the spirit. The greatest battle in history had just been fought, and the victory was won. The Savior was bruised, but the power of the devil, yes, the head of the devil, was forever crushed. It is no wonder, then, that Jesus had so little time and patience for those who were always looking for extra signs, or special signs, or evidence, or spiritual sensationalism. And Jesus had no time for the backbiting Pharisees either, as they constantly harangued him, saying, "Show us a sign, Jesus! Show us a sign!" Likewise today, Jesus has no patience whatsoever with those who refuse to consider the ultimate sacrifice on the cross and his Easter resurrection as the ultimate sign. These people, Jesus said, will receive no other sign. Jesus calls them a sinful and an adulterous generation. Finally, let us always remember that for believers in Christ, the completed work of Christ always brings the blessings of the Savior. Those of you who have lost loved ones, you need not weep anymore. You have a sure sign of hope. You have the Savior's resurrection. And those of you now diagnosed as having terminal cancer, you also have a sure sign of hope. For just as Jesus died and rose again from the dead, so also shall you and all believers be raised unto life eternal. Those of you who feel that your life is being constantly harangued or even destroyed by evil forces, through faith in the resurrected Christ, you also can have hope today. Instead of cowering in fear of the wicked forces of another world, and instead of hesitating to enjoy life, step out with great faith and courage. Do this with biblical boldness and Christ-centered confidence. Live your new life with the courage and the preparation described by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 6. Take up the full armor of God, the Apostle says. This will enable you to resist in the evil day. Stand firm. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of grace. The Bible continues then by saying, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take also the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And finally, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert and persevere. So then, my friend, because of Christ, and as a result of his triumphant resurrection, we no longer have to live in daily fear that evil will destroy us. Instead of living every day down and discouraged and in desperation, stand up and say with the hymn writer who wrote, Jesus lives. Yes, Jesus lives. The victory is won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives. Death's reign is done. From the grave, Christ will recall me. Brighter scenes will then commence. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, I know full well. Not from me his love shall sever. Life nor death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. God will be a sure defense. This shall be my confidence. Jesus lives, and now is death but the gate of life immortal. This shall calm my trembling breath when I pass its gloomy portal. Faith shall cry, as fails each sense, Jesus is my confidence. And so then we as believers no longer get all wrapped up and bogged down with the question of evil. Instead, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are already all wrapped up in the answer. And the answer is this, the resurrection of Christ. In his letter to the Christians at Colossae, the Apostle Paul writes, and I quote, on the cross, Jesus drew the sting of all the evil powers arranged against us. Then he exposed them. Then he shattered them. In our Savior's final and glorious act, these sinister powers of evil were absolutely destroyed. Yes, they were totally defeated. O Lord, we pray now for all those today who are living under the fear of evil or death. Deliver them, O God, from this sinister power and plant in their hearts the knowledge, yea, the very encouraging strength of the Savior's glorious Easter resurrection. Hear us, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.